Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, shalom, shalom. Hello, everyone. Hello, lovely ones. It is 1 p.m. on Sunday, and this is a wonderful, wonderful day. Great to be here again. And my name is Ilan Azulay, and this is the Abracadabra, Create What You Speak. I was asked again about the Abracadabra. Why Abracadabra? And usually I get that because this term has been associated many years with magic, poof, and you know, but really it comes from Aramaic, and it literally means I create what I speak. Creating from nothing, create what I speak. And this is really our intention here. My intention here is to share experiences and information and converse with you about ways to raise our vibration through how we speak. Because how we speak is what we're creating and what we are projecting from our inside to the outside world. And we are inviting the same thing. It's like a law of attraction. We create what we speak. How we think is voiced through our words. And we are inviting to us also what we don't want. Because sometimes when we focus on what we don't want, guess what we get? Exactly that, because our energy and our attention is directed at that. So think about situations in life where you received exactly that which you did not want. Or did you? Yeah, so, but first we'll start with a daily prayer and a request. And is Shahareni Mekabel al Atzmi et Mitzvat Aseh Shel Ve'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. I hereby accept on myself the due commandment of love your fellow like you love and express yourself. And the emphasis here is first on ourselves, because it's because we won't be able to give from ourselves if we do not have ourselves. So it's like an empty bank. Yeah. So we have to, it's like the, you know, it's like an airline, you know, to a similar subject, but a different story. Airlines, you know, when you are, when you travel and you get the airline stewardess that are demonstrating the security features, and they say, first of all, adults, put a mask on yourselves and then help others. And I know a lot of people that I've heard were really upset about this. I mean, what do you mean? And how can you put first in yourself? You have to take care of. It's like they take it in a way that is neglecting, let's say, the child. But if you think about it really for a second, how can you help a child if you're already passed out from not having enough air? So the emphasis is on ourselves first, so we can be of service to others. And today we want to talk about what we started last week and maybe a little bit the week before, is about, of course, all the time is reclaiming our power. How do we reclaim our power? And we talked about the letting go art. It's like an art. It's really an art, because it's something that we are creating because we forgot, and we hang on to things that are a creation of society, of family structures, society structures, all these kind of things. So letting go sometimes can be construed as weakness. In a relationship, these are the best examples. Talk about relationships, because this is what is real, right? I mean, you know, okay, we can talk about what we buy, how we get, I mean, but this is just stuff. But really the bottom line of things is our connections to people and the connections that we make and the meaning that we put behind each connection. So you know, so there are those things that are that sometimes come up, and I really believe it's just lack of awareness. But the awareness can come when you have the tools to withhold that intensity of the awareness that you may get. So, for example, if you're in a relationship and you are in the expectation that your partner is going to do something for you, and she doesn't do it or he doesn't do it, and so are we getting? Are we standing on our opinion that we must have that and we must have that and really holding on to something and not willing to let go and let go of the understanding that that person, I ask something of that person, why isn't that person doing that? Is letting go of the notion that I need to control somebody. I need to control somebody to perform within my story, within my understanding of how things need to be. And that creates a problem. If not in the beginning, later on. And it is, so there is the letting go of something that we are holding on to an opinion or what do you call it? Values, right? Many times, values, sometimes, in certain situations, values are really just a story of how we grew up and what we were told to believe about something. And many times, it's just those platforms, those structures that we are bound to. And we think that, well, if I'm going to give this up, I'm going to be weak, you know. But actually, the contrary is really the truth. If we hold on to something and we are so adamant about something, and it's really coming from a place of trying to control or to manipulate or to believe in something very strong that you're not willing to budge. And I'm not saying that somebody may do it consciously or purposefully that I want to control somebody, but this is how they believe at that time, and they truly believe that. So they're coming from their perception, and yet this is what many times is holding us back and keeping us weak, is the holding on to what we are afraid that may happen if we let go. So letting go is really a place of strength. It's a place of strength. Why? Because I trust myself in what I bring and who I am and who I am when I express myself. So there is no really need to try and control or try to exercise a certain amount of assertiveness if it is not coming from a place of acceptance of the other, acceptance of yourself. If it doesn't come from this place of acceptance and love, it's really coming from fear. The phone number here is 818-602-4929. And so today the continuation of letting go, when we're talking between us to the person in front of us on letting go and forgiving, really now it's about, before we are on the outside, before we are with the other person, it's about ourselves. How do we look at ourselves? How we judge ourselves? How to let go of our own obstacle of holding ourselves back? How does that come to in the daily life? How does that manifest? So there is this contrast we talked about this, the contrast between what I truly want in a situation, in somebody in a partnership, and what kind of a partner, and what I'm actually attracting. So there is a contrast. So it's like stepping out of a show, you know. It's like it's eventually coming to a place where you can look at everything like a moving image that is happening, like a show. So this is the show. Danny Obas.
יושבת בשורה ריקה המסך יורד כרגע זה נגמר אז את קמה לאיתך משהו כמו נלקח ממך פעמים הביט אלייך ונזהר רק הצגה אין בינינו שום מגע רק
music and sound can always, will always do this for me. And we're back about what we talked before we went out, about the art of letting go. And last time we started talking about really the contrast, that is happening, because on the one hand we want to we're in this relationship and we think everything works fine, everything is great, and then there are those times where we are allowing those feelings to come forward, those thoughts, those things that are holding us back, like, I'm not going to give up on my opinion. This is my opinion. I am right. I'm right. Why? If I do this, then I will be weak. And holding on to these things is going to seep in to other areas in life. Other areas in life, in relations, in communication, because really what is happening, we're not opening up in a way that we can be vulnerable. And vulnerability is scary. Can be very scary. You know, especially if you're not familiar with that and you haven't experienced it and navigated it constructively. And with TLC, tender, loving, caring, right? So you put your guards up, and you'll do anything that you can do not to become vulnerable. So, but again, it starts with ourselves. It starts with how are we with ourselves? Do we let go? Do we allow ourselves to be in a place of no judgment? To look at what we do and how we do things based on what we know today and understand today, without the judgment that usually can easily seep in. And if we're not aware of that. And so here's, for example, there's something that is common. I mean, I know I've been to that movie before. And you look at a situation, let's say 10 years ago, 5 years ago. You look at a relationship you've been in, around that amount of time, and you look at yourself and say, I don't believe how I have acted like that. I was, you call yourself all kind of names, right? And you say, I don't believe how I made a choice like this, and this obviously wasn't good for me, because look what happened. This happened and this happened. And but really what is happening here, you're taking a situation that happened 10 years ago, a situation that based on that situation, you have made a choice. You're looking at this situation today after you have 3,650 days later. You're looking with all the vast of experience and information and knowledge and wisdom and times of vulnerability and love later, and you judge yourself about the choices that you've made when you did not have all these tools to understand what has happened. So it's like you say, well, I mean, if I only knew then what I knew, well, I mean, you know, that's the running sentence, you know. If we only were there, in Hebrew there is a sentence that somebody like that is, of course, you're smart. You're smart at night when nobody sees you, meaning this already passed. So it is. It is not a place to start judging something that happened 10 years ago, because 10 years ago, you've been in a situation. You've been the person that you were 10 years ago, with understanding and your belief system than you are today. I know I can talk about myself, that 10 years ago or 8 years ago, that I've made choices based on based on how I believed in my own thoughts and being right, and I've asserted that because that's what I believe. Now, of course, it created an effect, you know, it created a consequence. Everything that we do is a action and a consequence. It's not about, oh, you are a bad person or you are a good person. Whether you do good things or bad things, there are consequences to each, either or, regardless of their nature. So, looking 10 years ago and saying, well, how this and that I was 10 years ago, I can only say that I was that I wasn't aware, I wasn't open, and it's not to excuse effects that happened because of the way that I was and how it affected people around me. But judging ourselves back with the eyes of today is really not doing you justice. Because you keep yourself in that place of not good enough. And of course you're good enough. You're more than good enough. Because you're here. And you're listening in. And that reminds me to give you the number. 818-602-4929. And you're calling in. That's me sending you vibes of call in, call in. But this is what it was at that time. And this is how we are at that time. So if we want to look at situations that happen at that time and see how we've learned, because every situation that happened, even the most difficult and especially actually the most challenging and difficult situations are the best ones, because these, only because of these situations do we grow. Only because of these situations do we excel, and do we are being pushed to the corner to squeeze the really last good juice of us out, so we can really break the chains, find the corner in the circle room, and fly out. And fly out with an acknowledgement, an acceptance, so we can move forward. And this is where comes in the issue of letting go and forgiving to ourselves. So there is the, but before we can forgive ourselves or let go of ourselves, is looking and seeing what is that we're dealing with. What is that we're looking at it? What is the issue? What happened? So you can look at something like this and say, okay, well, 10 years ago, I cannot look with the eyes of today and judge myself 10 years ago based on the information that I have today. I have to go back with the eyes that I had 10 years ago and look at what I had and why the choices that I made at that time were made. Where did these choices come from? Meaning, where did these choices come from within my own self? How was I looking, or how were you looking at a situation at that time, and were you repeating patterns? Were you repeating things that you've learned when you were growing up or other relationships? And are these actions or these choices, even today, because 5 years from today, we'll look at today and have the same conversation. It's great to have the same conversations, because the answers and the resolutions and the breakthroughs are going to be different at each point in time. And yet everything happens at once. So it is at that time we had a different set of eyes. At that time we had a certain understanding, and that also, by the way, goes when you're working with parents, with your parents or children, but more so with parents, because the parents have the experience that are affecting the upbringing of the children. So when a child comes to a certain place in life where they can embrace the intensity of the relationship with the parents, is looking at how did my parents grow up? What tools did they have? Or more correctly, did they have any access to any tools that will help them at that time? So when going into this, looking at how the person was raised, what kind of experience did they have? What kind of experiences did they experience? How did they respond? How were they talked to? And then you can understand, you can have a picture of what tools did your parents have, instead of going into a place of a victim, and victim is not, it's not a negative place to be in. It's not a negative word. Many times I say victim and people cringe, because it's like, I don't want to be a victim. But yeah, many times we are, when it's different intensities. But we recognize it first. So when we look at our parents and we see where they're coming from, then we can understand where they're coming from and what tools they have. So the same thing with us. We first of all have to acknowledge the place that we've been in. Acknowledge the way that we perceived and looked at life and around us. This is also a great example to show that we are not our body. We are not our thoughts. Because if we were, we wouldn't change every Monday and Thursday. Right? So because we're looking today with this question about how we were 10 years ago. And again, you can have 5 years, you can have, it could have been a place of work. But again, really the gist of life really is our connections, is our connections to our families, our connections to our partners, is the belonging. This is the essence. Our belonging, our place to connect, our place to come together. It's in our DNA. It's in our DNA. It's in our motherboard. You know, that's really the juice of it. So I'm talking about that, and this is really what it is about. Our connections, relation to others. So it could be a work, it could be partnership, or in a way too. And so recognizing where we are today, acknowledging where we were, and without any emotional attachments. You know, it's very easy sometimes to remember those things and to go to a place of an emotional charge. And if that is the case, then there is more healing to do in that regards. If you are thinking about a situation that happened 5 years ago, that there was a breakup, or there was some other traumatic experience, and you're still in a place of either anger, blame, self-doubt in regards to these aspects and what happened and what you've done, then there is more healing to do. There is more healing to do, so you can look at it eventually from a place of an opportunity. An opportunity for you. For what can come out, or what did come out that you didn't see because you were in the midst of everything post that. And you look at the situation and say, okay, this is what happened. This is how I've learned to cope with this or that, especially that. So it's first, the first step is really acknowledging, because we have to acknowledge what that we are so hard on ourselves. And I don't know if there was, and I mentioned it once, and I really love this experiment. It's a professor Emoto, Masaru Emoto, a Japanese scientist, that he did the experiments with water, and he divided two groups of water, and on one group side there were spoken good words of encouragement, words of love, acceptance, classical music, very beautiful classical music and other pieces of music. And on the other group, he played words of discouragement, words of hate, negative words, trash music or hard metal. And it's very interesting that then when they froze the particles, the first group created a perfectly geometrical crystals, perfect shapes of crystals. And the other group was just a brown splat. You know, so think about this. If we are more than 80% water, and we talk to ourselves the way that we talk to ourselves, how do you think our body responds to it? You know, as it says in the Kabbalah, it's a healthy spirit and a healthy body. When our spirit is healthy, when our nefesh, when our neshama is healthy, then it shows on our body. And when we are not in harmony, when we are not in alignment, then cacophony, you know? Then it comes out through our body, and it's being manifested in different conditions. That's really many times doctors look through and they can't find anything, and really it comes from a discord in our own harmonical chart. And so it starts with us. It starts with our acknowledgement that we were then and we are today. And so where we were then, we can only look at at the choices that we've made and learn from those choices for today. And so it starts with us, with the acknowledgement. Now, I have to be honest with you. There is the next room. I don't know how I can hear them, but there's an opera singer there. So I hope it was going hand in hand with what we were talking about. and so now comes the part of the letting go, right? It is the forgiving, and the forgiving is not coming from the forgiveness of, from the aspects of, oh, I forgive you because you've done something negative. No, it's not from that place. It's coming from, I forgive, meaning more like I forgive you in the sense of, you did not have the tools to see what you see today. So I forgive you for not having these. It's not to take responsibility away, because if we've done something that has a consequence later on, because everything is like that, some things will have consequences immediately, and some other things will have consequences 10 years later, 15 years later, who knows, when we hear about these things all the time. And so the forgiving is really, I forgive myself. There is the forgiving to myself from not knowing and or believing in what I knew at that time. And then there is the the acceptance and that whatever consequence happened from that, to take that as the lesson, but the acceptance and the forgiveness. So I can forgive myself and you can forgive yourself. And you can allow yourself the space to grow new things. You know, I love the whole concept of Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers was doing, for those who Mr. Rogers is, doing was really great kids shows. And when I came to the States in 93, I saw that, and initially I didn't get what he was doing, but it was, I was in a different place. And but he said something in one of the remixes that they did after his passing. He had a sentence that he said, "What are you growing in the garden of your mind?" And I have this sentence, and it's with me for so there is not, let's say, a week that I don't think about this at least once, because really this is what it is, and it comes from how do we treat ourselves. How do we treat others based on how we treat ourselves? And really these projections or these feelings or how we act and how we behave and what we believe in are really planting seeds in our mind, planting seeds in our presence, in our story. We're creating a story with everything. And so what are we growing in the garden of our mind? It's like you can ask the same question of, who do you want to sit at your table eventually? When you're looking at in your relationship to yourself and to others, do you want to sit with people that continue to cultivate that structure which you are trying to free yourself from? Meaning, inviting people in your life that, let's say, are controlling or are in a certain place in life that are acting in a certain way that was traumatic to you. Do you want these people in this kind of energy to be with you? Or do you want to align yourself with people that help you grow? And everybody connects to a person that is on their level. There is no good or bad level. Not at all. It's just different levels of vibration, different levels of energy. And so on what level do you connect? And so that is the step that will allow to this place for us to expand, to be able to receive what is coming to us, what we can get, what we are holding back from happening for us. There was this, and before I say this, that the universe always, always provides for what we need. And every situation that we are in is happening because we have the tools to handle the situation. Think about a job. You're working, you're making X amount of money a year, and then you applied for a new job with the same company, and you got it. Well, you got a new job, and you're getting a raise for a job that technically you haven't done yet. But the reason you're being hired is because you've accumulated all the tools that are needed to create this job, the new job that you got. And this is the same thing. We're going through these experiences, and we are here now, and the new challenges that are coming to us are for us to be creative and for us to bring out our creativity and our passion and our love to just being and for the people around us. And so we have the tools to go to the next step. We have the tools to move on. So we've graduated from a certain situation, from a certain, not the situation itself as a story, but we graduated from recognizing, understanding, and going through the healing of that pattern or of that perception, so we can realize that this is not us and we can let that go, so we can allow more to be filled in with knowledge, experience. It's fascinating, I have to tell you. I mean, I don't have to tell you, but you know this already, right? Otherwise you wouldn't be here. So you know it's already, it's fascinating. You know, and so there are like, there are, one of the things that I don't remember if I talked about this yet, but it's like if you take the Venn diagram, you know, the two circles that come together, you know, like the Olympic signs, imagine the Olympic signs, or where the two circles connect together. And so you have, actually you have three creations now, because you have one circle on the right, one circle on the left, and you have like a Pisces, like it's not a circle, but it's like a Pisces in the middle, a new co-creation. So these are the two circles that come together. We connect at any given moment in time, because this is the time that we are aligned exactly to connect at that conjunction. Boom. And we connect. And we connect, and we have the option to co-create something new. Whatever relationship that is. It could be a platonic relationship. It could be a romantic relationship. It could be a friendship relationship. Now we can co-create. When we come together in a relationship, there are like three ways really to be in a relationship. It's like the three ways of our own relationship to ourselves, the same way to the other. To ourselves is the relationship between us to us. Us to our neighbor, to the person in front of me, to the people I deal with, and us to the world, to the creation, to God. Now, an interesting question that comes up is, well, wait, shouldn't it be first to the creation and then to man or to the other person in front of me? Well, in Kabbalah and Judaism, really, if you know of Yom Kippur, the Atonement Day, The greatest thing about this is, and this is throughout, not just during that day, that issues that I have between me and the Creator or the creation can be forgiven, can be looked at and says, okay, you're not in this, that's okay. But issues that I have between me and you can be forgiven only between you and me. There is no energy that can fix this, so to speak, except for our own energy. So if you and I, if you're listening, if you and I have something that is unresolved, that caused some kind of friction, then it is only up to us to resolve that. Not for only the story of, oh, I forgive you, forgiven, and all this. Not just the story that we are bringing to you, have to ask for forgiveness once a year. No. So our energetic level, so we as souls can advance. Because we are here for one another. We came together because of one another. We came together because each of our own journeys and our journey together, for whatever that is, was, will, maybe. All those time sequences. So there is the between us to us, our standpoint. So this comes before the creation. The peace and love and community and connectedness comes before the creation, because the creation was created for us. Not for the creation. The creation was created for us. So we are the important one to another. So that's why also in the order it comes that way. And so in a relationship it is, you can be rigid, two circles, nobody gives in. So that automatically says that you are in the relationship only to receive, right? But really the whole secret is about, and now it's not a secret, but it is a secret that it's about the giving. It's when we come from a place of giving, we are omitting the energy of giving for the sake of giving because the person is there, of looking at the person who is in front of me and accepting the person as they are without trying to change them. And to recognize that we are doing that will bring continued work of healing. Seeing who is in front of me. And so when you're rigid, nothing happens. Two heads butt one another, nothing happens. There is another way of one side gives in and fills into the story of the other person. So if a person, if a woman comes from a place of abuse, and she was in an abusive relationship, and she went through an abusive relationship, whether it is physically or mentally, but more even mentally is more detrimental. And the next relationship fills in these patterns. By one of the patterns could be that she is completely giving herself. She didn't have any sense of herself. She gives her entire existence to the other person to be, serve, do whatever. And so that the lady, the woman, she is not in a place of her own truth. And so her story is being taken over by the other side's story and by the other side's pattern of the needing to have somebody like her submit to this story. So we're both feeling patterns. And the third way is to have the other way around, where either the male or the female are submitting into one another stories. But the fourth way, and this is really the place. I realize I said three ways in the beginning, but the fourth way is really when we come from a place of recognition. We recognize where we are. We recognize where we are within ourselves. We recognize what works for us, what doesn't work for us, like we talked about last week. Recognizing what works for us and saying out loud first, because that's the acknowledgement of the recognition, I see that this kind of a relationship is not working for me because it gets out this and this and this and that. And it's not because it takes me to a this direction. And I realize I'm not in that place anymore. And so you recognize what doesn't work for you. And then all these understandings and breakthroughs, at least the desire to be in these places. I'm not saying, I mean, we're always growing. There is no ending for growing. Once we're done growing, we're done. And we have wings and we fly out of here. But as long as we have the willingness and the understanding that it's a bigger picture, then we are in a place where we combine our stories, we are complementing our stories, we are yin-yanging our stories, we are coming together with our stories, and we are co-creating something new. Something that didn't exist. And it can exist only because you are unique, and I'm unique, and you are here and you are reclaiming your power. And so reclaiming your power. This is really our intention here. So, okay, today was a great day. Thank you for joining in. Next week, next Sunday, we'll have I will be hosting a sound healing and tea ceremony here in Canoga Park, not far from here. And we'll end up with a nice song by Ronnie DeLumi, So So. And have a wonderful week. Shavua Tov. Make it the greatest week that you can create. Bye-bye.
מה שטוב לך ורק תשאיר לי משהו רק משהו שוב אומרת לעצמי זה רק אני והוא אצלי